Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? You know, the New Testament writers used a variety of comparisons and different illustrations and various expressions to try to show the difference between being a Christian and not being a Christian. And these significant differences, they are very significant and important to every person, whether he's a Christian or whether he's not. Now, some of these were distinctions between being a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. You see, the one who is not a Christian, whether he realizes it or not, he's still a servant of sin because he hasn't been forgiven of his sin. But the Christian, he serves righteousness because he's come to the Lord and been forgiven of his past sins. You see, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, well, it's the difference between a saint and a sinner. Now, I know that in the religious world, there are those who are called saints, people who lived odd and strange lives many, many years ago, and to whom they attribute some kind of miraculous power, and they call them saints. But the New Testament, it doesn't talk that way. We should speak as the oracles of God, my dear listener. And the New Testament calls the Christian a saint. A saint is simply one who has been sanctified. Now, a person that's been sanctified, he has simply been set apart. He's been set apart by the blood of Christ from his sins. He's been set apart into Christ, into the family of God. Whereas the non-Christian, he has not enjoyed those blessings as yet, and he won't until he obeys the gospel. You see, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is simply the difference between one who is separated from Christ and one who is nigh and united with Christ. And it's important that we be in Christ, because Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, salvation is in Christ. Friend, let's understand something that the New Testament emphasizes so plainly. We must be in Christ to go to heaven. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. We must obey his commands and be in Christ in order to be saved. You see, outside of Christ, we're still at enmity with God. We're still friendship with the sinful world. But in Christ, and one who is a Christian, who's done those things that are necessary to be reconciled unto God. Well, these are few of the comparisons that the New Testament makes between being a Christian and not being a Christian. It's the difference between being lost in sin and being saved from sin. It's the difference between being condemned before God because of our sinfulness and being redeemed by the blood of Christ, bought back, belonging to God. It's the difference between those who are dead in sins, but those who are spiritually alive in Christ. Now, all of these terms have been given by the Holy Spirit, and they've been incorporated into the Scripture. The Word, of course, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The writers wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then has used these illustrations and comparisons to show the difference between being a Christian and not being a Christian. And all of these present with us a vast change has taken place when one leaves the dark valley of sin and comes into the glorious mountain light of truth through Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we have a very vivid expression that shows the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. There the Holy Spirit had Paul to write, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Christian is a new creature. That's the difference between him and one who has not come to Christ. Now, I think we all delight in things that are new. We even delight in seeing old things being restored to look and to operate as if they were just as good as new. Some of us enjoy refinishing furniture. I've done a great deal of that in the years gone by. Our furniture is the restored attic furniture, where we took old furniture that had been cast aside and they refinished it, and it made it look almost like new. I've done a lot of that. But it's a pleasure to see some old piece that somebody has discarded. They don't particularly care for it. They thought it was just junk. And you take it and you change it into something that is admired. It's considered useful and beautiful. Now, some have the ability to restore old automobiles. That's a great hobby for a lot of people. It's an expensive hobby, to be sure. But they take an old car that's been run down and maybe rusted, and they repair it and make it just like new. I have a nephew who took my grandfather's car, a 1933 Plymouth, and he took that and he restored it to where it looks just like it just come off the assembly line. Well, what they produce, those car lovers, is something that admire because it looks like new. Just about everyone admires the work that goes into the restoration of things, making things new again. Some people repair old houses, don't they? The house has become run down in bad repair, but they're restored. Many fathers have brightened the eyes of their youngsters when they took a broken toy. They fixed that toy. They made it just as good as new, and the child was so pleased. And what a blessing it is when maybe some skilled surgeon is able to successfully operate upon somebody. Their life was endangered by some disease or by some problem that they had, and they removed the diseased tissue, and the person begins to function as if they had never been sick. Salesmen often use the different pitch between how things were before and how things after, because after they have become like new. Yes, we like new things. I've spent a lot of time on this showing how we appreciate new things. Well, friend, the point I want to strive and plant in your heart is this. A person can be made new. Regardless of how broken and useless his life has become, he's allowed himself to become a servant of the devil. If he will do what's necessary, he can be made new again. Now, it remains for God to make a sinful man a new creature, to be sure. We're born into this world spotless and sinless, pure and innocent, undefiled. This doctrine that we're born guilty of sin, doomed and damned, can't do anything about it, that's all false. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. The Bible teaches that the newborn babe is sinless. But we corrupt ourselves as we reach maturity and we begin to partake of the transgressions against the will of God. We partake of sin. Sin ruins us. It makes us unfit for fellowship with God. It separates us from God. And we're like enemies and aliens to God. But God can take a blighted life. He can take my life and your life, regardless of how sinful and stained it has become, and make it over again, so that he will even cherish our fellowship. And so great is that change. And that change is brought about by the Holy Spirit, by and through the use of the Word of God upon our hearts. That change is so great that the Holy Spirit has used the term new creature to describe it. Now, this is what I want to get across in our lesson today and tomorrow, probably. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The Christian is a new creature. It's like the song says, bring Christ your broken heart, so marred by sin, he will create anew, make whole again. It's like what David wrote in the 51st Psalm. Create in me a new heart, O God. Yes, we can be made new. Now, the tremendous power that affects such a change and renewal, it begins with the love that God has for man. God loves man. He doesn't always approve of him, but he always loves man. In spite of man's sinfulness, God loves man. God wants man to be saved. And the gospel is that message that God has sent to show his love for man. And the Son of God is the one that has come to provide for the salvation of mankind. Oh, what God has done for man is what makes man possible to become a new creature. And if it had not been for what God has done, there wouldn't be any such thing as man becoming a new creature. But we read in the Bible that familiar passage in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, it's the love of God that motivates and prompts us to love him in return. John wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. By what Paul calls the foolishness of preaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and that is what is considered to be foolishness by many of the first century, and it's still foolishness to a lot of people today. The preaching of the gospel is the way that God takes an old, sinful, pure person and turns them into a new creature. This is the way that God initiates the operation of our salvation. Upon our belief in that message and our demonstration of God's love in sending his Son, when we believe and when we obey, we become new creatures. Upon our obedience to the commands of the gospel, we are enabled to become a new creature. And so to become a new creature demands wholehearted and unreserved commitment of ourselves to God through his Son. And this commitment is made by our obedience from the heart to that form of doctrine which was delivered. When we believe and obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, we reach the saving blood of Christ. We go down into that water a sinner. We come up out of the water in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And those who embark upon this newness of life, they are born again. And as born again new creatures, we have responsibilities that distinguish us from those who have not yet been born again. Be with us as we continue to study the theme of the Christian as a new creature. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.